In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. So says St. Paul to the Ephesians and to us, and to our country that at this moment is in the throes of challenging this fundamental reality, that marriage is between a man and a woman, and to say otherwise is a direct attack on the mystery of the gospel that proclaims that Christ is our bridegroom and we are his bride, and that marriage is an icon of this reality. That's how serious this situation is that we're facing today in Indiana and throughout the United States. It's about our life in the world, and it's about our life in the church, because it's about the bridegroom and the bride. It's a matter of the gospel. Now, we're not the first ones to be confused about how we are to live when the bridegroom is present. It all goes back to the time of Jesus, to Pharisees and scribes and even disciples of John who wondered how to behave in Jesus' presence. Were they to mourn in his presence? Were they to fast, as if they were at a funeral instead of a wedding? But when the bridegroom is present, it's always a time for rejoicing, a time for feasting, a time for new wine in new wineskins. Wasn't this evident to everyone who heard Jesus teach and who saw him cleanse lepers and calm storms and cast out demons and heal paralytics? This was the new wine that he was bringing, qualitatively, radically new. Wine from the bridegroom for his bride at his own wedding feast, where he was present as both host and guest, setting people free from what bound them by offering them the proper wedding garment so that they could attend the feast he prepared for them by his death, and then feeding them with his very own flesh. Jesus' ministry of new wine in new wineskins should not have been lost on his hearers, who knew that the bridegroom, Yahweh himself, was to come to Israel, his bride, and that when the bridegroom comes, it is a time for feasting, for eating and drinking, for singing and rejoicing in the presence of the bridegroom at his wedding feast. I will rejoice in the Lord, says Isaiah. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. But, says Jesus, the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away, and they will fast. Yes, the bridegroom will be taken away, arrested, beaten, mistreated, spit on, and then crucified. That will be the time to mourn. That will be the time to fast. For there, Jesus becomes a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, fully identifying himself with our suffering by taking those sufferings into his own body. Jesus wed himself to our sufferings and made us his bride at the altar of the cross. His death was the consummation of his love for us, his bride, and in his death he gave us life, now celebrated at a marriage feast in which we proclaim his death until he comes again. Until that time, what all must know, what the church must proclaim, is that now, in the death and resurrection of the bridegroom, all things are qualitatively and radically new. Old wineskins cannot hold the new wine that now is also his blood, shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. This radical newness of the bridegroom is sealed through blood. His blood. Bloody new wine for his bride, the church. And for a world of men and women broken by their own confusion as to who this bridegroom really is. For men and women who, in marriage, in becoming one flesh, embody the gospel in their very own bodies. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water and the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. This mystery is profound and worth defending with our lives, for it's a matter of the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.